news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump's farce of a daily White House coronavirus briefing reached a new low on Monday. Trump took to the podium as if it were Festivus in time for the airing of the grievances. After complaining about how he's not being appreciated for the great job he's done protecting the nation from COVID-19 and the recent damning examination of his disastrous response by the New York Times, Trump called Dr. Fauci to the podium for what looked like a hostage video. The good doctor stated that he wasn't criticizing Dear Leader in interviews over the weekend when he suggested that more lives would have been saved had the mitigation steps been put into effect earlier. But then Trump went over the edge as he played what can only be described as a propaganda film, highlighting highly edited praise for Herr Trump from journalists and governors alike. Both CNN and MSNBC cut away from the so-called briefing. On CNN, John King clearly called it what it was.
That was propaganda. That was not just a campaign video. That was propaganda aired at taxpayer expense in the White House briefing room. And it was selective cherry-picking information.
But wait, there's more. Seriously, the wrecked train kept rolling as Trump began ranting about the need to open the economy again and proclaiming that the decisions about when and how to reopen everything was his exclusively, as the president has, quote, total authority.
Just to be very specific, for instance, if a governor issued a stay-at-home
order... When you say my authority, the president's authority.
Not mine, because it's not me. This is when somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's the way it's got to be.
Total. Your authority is total.
It's total. It's total. And the governors know that.
So if a
the governors know that. Now, you have a couple of bands of excuse me. You have a couple...
Could you rescind that order?
You have a couple of bands of Democrat governors, but they will agree to it. They will agree to it. But the authority of the president of the United States having to do with the subject we're talking about is total.
You get that? Kudos to CNN's Caitlin Collins, who attempted to question that assertion, even calling him out, saying that statement is just simply not true.
A quick question about something you just said. You said when someone is president of the United States, their authority is total. That is not true.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to write up papers on this. It's not going to be necessary because the governors need us one way or the other, because ultimately it comes with the federal government. That being said, we're getting along very well with the governors, and I feel very certain that there won't be a problem. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Has any governor agreed that you have the authority to decide when their state...
I haven't asked anybody. Because I don't, you know why? Because I don't have to. Go ahead, please.
But who told you the president has the total authority?
Enough.
There really are no words. Thankfully, most of the governors are adults who've actually read the Constitution. And on Monday, two groups of governors, one from the East Coast, the other from the West Coast, announced that they were joining forces to develop coordinated plans to eventually reopen their economies. The groups plan to roll back coronavirus restrictions slowly to avoid new spikes of infections. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and Rhode Island are forming the Eastern Regional Council, while California, Washington, and Oregon are forming the Western one. Senator Bernie Sanders on Monday endorsed his former rival for the Democratic presidential nomination, Joe Biden, saying, "We need you in the White House, and I will do all that I can to see that that happens." Biden responded by telling Sanders, "I'm going to need you not just to win the campaign, but to govern." Speaking of elections, Democrats won a significant victory in Wisconsin's election for a state Supreme Court seat on Monday when the liberal challenger was declared the upset winner of last week's election over a conservative incumbent backed by Donald Trump. The liberal candidate Jill Karofsky beat Justice Daniel Kelly by more than 90,000 votes as of Monday night, a margin of victory that surprised members of both parties in a potentially crucial presidential battleground state. Karofsky's victory also marked the first time in more than a dozen years that a Supreme Court challenger beat an incumbent, and just the second time in more than a half a century. Her win over Justice Daniel Kelly will shift conservative control of the court from a 5-2 to a 4-3 majority. We still got work to do. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court is gearing up to hear arguments for 10 cases over the phone for the first time in history. The next session, from May 4th to 13th, will include a case on faithless electors in the Electoral College and a case combining House Democrats and New York State prosecutors' subpoenas for Donald Trump's financial records. The Supreme Court has already delivered decisions remotely since the COVID-19 pandemic began, though that wasn't a new practice for the court. The decision to let Wisconsin's primary continue during the pandemic was delivered remotely, but the court had postponed future arguments until deciding to proceed via telephone on Monday. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more by visiting NicoleSandler.com and clicking on that donate button.